Grace and peace be to you in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. When I look at the text each Sunday as to what is being presented to share with you, sometimes they can be quite challenging and sometimes they fit really well. And this today, in particular, the Old Testament and the Gospel reading fit really well together because they're talking about prayer or involvement with God. Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer, of course, but then he goes on to explain what it means to pray, how we should pray. And we have the Old Testament there where Abraham, well, he's not actually praying to God, he's negotiating with God, and how he beats him down from 50 down to 10. He doesn't change his argument all along the way, he just keeps going down and down and down. But he persists. And that's what Jesus explains after the Gospel reading, that we should be persistent in our prayer, that we should be faithful in our prayer. But I'm not going to talk to you about that. I chose to talk to you about the Colossians reading. And the theme I've chosen is philosophy or faith. Philosophy or faith. I once heard it said that everyone's a philosopher. That is to say that everyone has a natural yearning to discover answers to important questions about life and the universe in which we live. Now, in case you're not aware of what the subject of philosophy is all about, it is said to be the love of knowledge and understanding. Philosophy is the love of knowledge and understanding. Okay. Some philosophers spend their entire lives trying to answer the deep and meaningful questions of our human existence, such as, what is the meaning of life? And what's the nature of our universe? Where do we come from and where are we going? Delving into what they hope will give them answers. And unfortunately, more than not, the answers they come up with just present more questions to be answered. For myself, I'm perhaps a more casual philosopher, as the questions that I sometimes wonder about are something like, when a manufacturer sends styrofoam to another company, what do they pack it in? Or is it true that cannibals don't eat clowns because they taste funny? And what about, if olive oil comes from olives, what does baby oil come from? As I said, everyone's a philosopher. And so I imagine we all have our own particular questions that we might pursue to a greater or lesser degree. Now, in our pursuit to discover the truth, people often find themselves comparing one thing with another, especially with what we know and with what we don't know. Even a simple everyday task like shopping through the vegetable section of a supermarket, can become a philosophical exercise as the shoppers compare one watermelon with another watermelon. Now, they all look the same, but you and I know one is definitely better than the rest. Mind you, people will also philosophise over more important things than watermelons, like choosing the right school for their children. And so, in doing so, they recognise that there is a difference between the schools in what they offer their children. Better be careful what I say now, because the principal's just sitting down in the front row. They recognise there is a difference between the schools. And yet, strangely, in this modern day and age in which we live, when it comes to faith and religion, everyone suddenly thinks that they are the same. The Bible would remind us that in our pursuit of knowledge and wisdom, in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of God is understanding." I'll say that again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of God is understanding. See where the focus is. In the Old Testament days, the philosophical question was not whether there was a God, but rather which God was the greatest. Remember the challenge that Elijah and the priests of Baal had, and how Elijah said, "Let's see whose God is the greatest. Bring it on." But times have changed in this 21st century. In this 21st century, the devil takes great delight in promoting the idea that all gods are the same. He doesn't mind the idea of us worshipping gods. So there's a smattering of them out there, whether it's Buddha, whether it's Allah, whether it's Krishna, or countless other names of would-be gods which our humanity has claimed as their own. The world says it doesn't matter. After all, we're all going to end up in the same place. And in a sense, that statement might be true, but it's not the place that the world would think and hope it would be. You know, there are plenty of people around today, here in this town, in this state, in this country, many parts of the world, who would say, religion is a matter of opinion. And really the bottom line is, as long as you believe in something, as long as you live a good life and lend a helping hand when it's needed, everything will be okay. But I wonder about this free and easy open-mindedness of today. God didn't accept open-mindedness from Abraham. God didn't say to Abraham, "Look, there are plenty of gods around. Take your pick. One, two, whatever you like." No, in fact, God was quite specific when he said to Abraham, and I quote from Genesis 17:7, God said to Abraham, "I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants, after you for your descendants to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants." No ifs, no buts, no maybes. And neither did God accept the open-mindedness from the children of Israel after he delivered them from Egypt, wherein he says in Exodus 6 verse 7, God says to the people of Israel, "I will take you as my own people and I will be your God." And Jesus wasn't open-minded when it came to worshipping God, for he clearly says in Luke chapter 4 verse 8, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Crystal clear. Crystal clear. Now we all know that watermelons are not all the same. We know that not all schools are the same, and I guess I could pick a variety of similar examples. So why is it when it comes to God, the world suddenly claims that all gods are the same, same purpose, same ends? If people insist on being open-minded about God, why then do they not apply the same open-mindedness to other things, such as education? I'll tell you why. When we send our children to school, we don't want them to learn that 2 plus 2 equals 3, or even worse still, 2 plus 2 equals whatever you want it to equal. We want them to learn and know that 2 plus 2 equals 4, because there is only one true answer. Any other answer is unacceptable, misleading, a lie. So if we're going to be consistent in our philosophical thinking, then when the devil tells us all gods are alike, we need to see and recognise that answer is indeed a lie. As much as 2 plus 2 equals 3 is a lie. Likewise, we need to see through the hollow and deceptive philosophies that depend on human traditions and worldly desires are also a lie. Just as 2 plus 2 equals 4 is unique, so too the Lord God Almighty is unique. And he is not ashamed to command that we should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, and with all your mind, covering all bases. You see, there is no open-mindedness when it comes to knowing God. Right is right and truth is truth. As we know, 2 plus 2 equals 4, and that statement is absolutely true. But even more importantly, the one thing that is absolute in this world is God is true. Now, in saying we need to know, perhaps have a bit of an understanding, what does the word absolute mean? When you hear that, what does the word absolutely true mean? Well, according to the Good Dictionary, it means complete and perfect. Complete and perfect. So it is that our God is an absolute God, the one who is complete and perfect. And if all the forces of hell and the philosophical voices of humanity say otherwise, I tell you, they are wrong. Perhaps you think I'm being a bit presumptuous to make such a bold claim. Well, let's apply our philosophical minds to such a claim. That is, God is absolute. The first problem we have is that the philosopher in us cannot hope to understand the reality of God. We cannot hope to understand the completeness, the divine essence of God. Even though God has given us his word, it is beyond our human understanding to grasp his holiness, his righteousness, his majesty, his mercy, his love. Sure, we get glimpses of these things, these aspects of God in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Yes, most certainly, and praise the Lord we do. But we cannot possibly hope to know of the complete and perfect nature of our divine God. We cannot hope to know the fullness of the absoluteness of God. Why not, you might ask? Why? Because by nature, we are fallen philosophers, trapped in our own sinfulness, which binds and limits us to this world. It would be like asking a kindergarten child to answer the question, what is the square root of 13th to the 7th power? Now, I haven't got a clue myself. So why would you ask a kindergarten child that question? No matter how philosophical a child may be, it cannot discover the truth by itself. It would need some university mathematician to help them get there. And where do they start? They start with 2 plus 2 equals 4. So too, if we also seek to discover the absolute truth of our God, we also need someone to reveal that truth to us. And that someone is the Holy Spirit of God, given to you and I through our baptism, where the seed of faith was given to us, that it might grow and it might nourish, it might flower to become that which God desires us to be. A faith established in Jesus, who came as the Son of God, sent by God, that we might know and experience in our own personal way the grace of our Lord. And this blessed faith is not a result of a development of our philosophical thinking, but it is the result of God's gracious action in us as we come to know our absolute God in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And you know, the most wonderful thing is this. Even with God graciously revealing his truth and love to us, our salvation is not dependent upon our understanding or knowledge of God. It's not an entrance exam to get into heaven, you know, but rather only on the faith which God has gifted us, which believes in what God has already done for us through Christ Jesus. That's it. And this is what exactly St. Paul was saying in our epistle. I finally got to the epistle reading. This is exactly what St. Paul says in our epistle reading for today as he writes to the congregation at Colossae concerning the problems they were having. They had been blessed abundantly by the revelation of the gospel given to them, and they rejoiced in that gift, and they grew. But as they grew, the world began to speak to them in different ways. And there were those who had all of a sudden thought that circumcision was back on the order, and that certain laws would need to be made, certain foods should be celebrated, this should be done, and so forth. And Paul writes to them and says, you guys have taken your eye off the ball. He says to them, and I quote, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. Don't be led astray. Turn to the Word. Turn to the one who is the living Word. He goes on to say, for in Christ Jesus, the whole fullness of God dwells in him, who is the head of every ruler and every authority. You know, in matters of mathematics, 2 plus 2 equals 4. It always has been, and it always will be. That, dear friends, is an absolute truth. In matters of faith, there is one God who is complete, who is perfect, and rest assured, that also is an absolute truth. This God is our Creator God, the Father of our Lord and Saviour Jesus, who neither requires nor expects you to know and understand him in the totality of who he is, but rather that you should believe that your faith enables you to hold fast to the one whom he has sent, our Lord and Saviour Jesus. And that's an absolute truth. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.